From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his sixth message in a series devoted to the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. The text, Galatians chapter 1, 15-18, tells us that immediately following his conversion, Paul spent 3 years in the desert of Arabia. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is seeking to explain why Paul was sent to Arabia instead of being allowed to begin his ministry right away. As we've seen already, Paul's desert experience parallels that of Moses. Well schooled in the learning of Egypt, Moses had to be brought face to face with the God of Israel to be prepared for leading his people out of bondage. So Paul, the Pharisee, who had been educated at the feet of Gamaliel, needed to understand that the law which he so revered was intended to bring him to Christ. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message entitled, The Making of a Man of God. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, The Bible's Supreme Place. The text is Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Yes, a true love for the great book will bring us great peace from the great God, and be a great protection to us. Let us live constantly in the society of the law of the Lord, and it will breed in our hearts a restfulness such as nothing else can. The Holy Spirit acts as a comforter through the Word, and sheds abroad those benign influences which calm the tempests of the soul. Nothing is a stumbling block to the man who has the Word of God dwelling in him richly. He takes up his daily cross, and it becomes a delight. For the fiery trial he is prepared, and counts it not strange, so as to be utterly cast down by it. He is neither stumbled by prosperity, as so many are, nor crushed by adversity, as others have been. For he lives beyond the changing circumstances of external life. When his Lord puts before him some great mystery of the faith, which makes others cry, "This is an hard saying, who can hear it?" the believer accepts it without question, for his intellectual difficulties are overcome by his reverent awe of the law of the Lord, which is to him the supreme authority to which he joyfully bows. Lord, work in us this love, this peace, this rest, this day.
Thank you.
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which reads, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not because of his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who were saved during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may make your check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
many people imagine that the purpose of the law of God is to tell man how to live a good enough life to merit heaven. Some people who say, well, that's not the way of life anymore, talk about the Old Testament period as if from Moses to Christ, God was saying to people, here is the way whereby you can work your way to heaven. But since that didn't work out, it was too difficult, he has now instituted a different and an easier way. But my friend, that is a travesty of the entire scripture of truth. The testimony of the Old Testament and the testimony of the New Testament is that man's righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Man's best efforts to keep the law of God actually break the law of God. So, what is the purpose of the law? And Paul had an answer to that question. And I believe he learned that answer with great clarity during this stay with Christ in Arabia. He said it was added because of transgressions until the seed, that is Christ, should come to whom the promise was made. Wherefore, verse 24 of Galatians 3, the law was our schoolmaster to lead or to bring us unto Christ in order that we might be justified by faith. There in Arabia, God's Son began to teach Saul of Tarsus the true place of the law. And as he did so, he taught him the satisfaction of the law. He taught him something that I would to God every one of us understood. If you were here this morning, this is what the message was all about. As Brother Warland preached on the garment of the righteousness of Christ. Listen very carefully. This is what Saul of Tarsus learned from the lips of Christ as he was alone with him in Arabia. He put it this way in Romans 10, verse 4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He explains the same truth in different words in Romans 5, verse 19. As by one man's disobedience, that is Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners, even so, by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous, or shall be constituted, in a legal sense, constituted righteous. This is what he learned. That the satisfaction of the law is not by the works of the flesh. It is not by the deeds of man. It is not by the sacraments of the church. It is not by the efforts of the flesh. The satisfaction of the law does not occur because you or I set out to do the best we can and God will somehow or other lower his standards and accept the best we can do. Across Christendom tonight, there are millions and hundreds of millions of people who somehow imagine that if they only do the best they can, God will accept it. But that's the great lie of the devil. God is a God of infinite, spotless holiness, of absolute justice. Listen, he spared not the old world in the days of Noah. He spared not the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He spared not Capernaum and the other cities in Galilee in which most of Christ's mighty works were done. He spared not Tyre and Sidon when they sinned against him. You say, well, they weren't very good specimens of humanity. Perhaps he'll spare me if I do the best I can. Listen, when the Lord Jesus Christ took upon him the guilt of our sins, listen to what the Holy Ghost said. He spared not his own son. God is a God of inflexible, unalterable holiness, righteousness, and absolute justice. And the millions of people who come with the paltry, filthy little offering of the best they can do and expect to work their way to heaven or that, on that basis. Listen very carefully. They will make their bed in hell. But the law has been satisfied. Jesus Christ, who is the covenant head of his people, just as much as Adam was, our natural head and our covenant head, Jesus Christ, standing in the place of all his people, has perfectly fulfilled the law of God. I tell you, that is a doctrine of immense importance, of fundamental truth. And as Saul of Tarsus was alone with Jesus Christ in that desert region, cut off from all the intrusions and the distractions of the world, the Son of God opened up this volume of truth and he imprinted it indelibly on the heart. The man who was to be the greatest apostle of all. So in Arabia, just like Moses a long time before him, Saul received bright revelations from God, and he was clearly instructed in the truths of the gospel. In later years, he would make it clear that Christ himself was the source of his message and his authority. Did you notice how he put it in our Bible reading tonight? He said, I didn't go and learn this from Peter and James and John and those who were apostles before me. I didn't go up to Jerusalem and get taught in the gospel. Now, notice I don't want to follow this subject through, but it's important that you notice what he's saying. Everybody else learned the gospel from the apostles. He didn't. He learned it directly from Christ. Even Apollos, who was mighty in the scriptures and a great preacher and a great servant of God, even Apollos stopped short of really getting a grip of the gospel until other Christians came and taught him the way of God more fully. But nobody on earth taught Saul of Tarsus the gospel. Jesus Christ did that. Galatians 1, verse 1, he says he's an apostle not of man. That is, not from man. Neither by man or through man, but by Jesus Christ. We have read verse 11 and 12. I certify you that this gospel was not after man. I didn't receive it from man. I wasn't taught it. But by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said to the Thessalonians, this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord. He told the Ephesians, by revelation Christ made known unto me the mystery. This is why he was an Arabian. He was there for the very same purpose as Moses. But I think we can say that he went to Arabia for the same reason as Elijah went there. You remember Elijah, after Mount Carmel, was weary with the journey. He became very overwrought and disconsolate, discouraged, depressed. And the Lord brought him down into this very area. He brought him to Horeb. He needed strength. He needed grace. And so the Lord brought him there and he spoke to him, do you remember, with that still small voice. and encouraged him for the rest of his ministry. Saul of Tarsus went to Arabia for the same reason. He also had had an overwhelming experience on the Damascus Road. Following that, he had spent 3 days in blindness and in total fasting. Then after that, he had faced bitter persecution and danger. The people he had brought with him to Damascus as his subordinates, his helpers in persecution, were now themselves a great threat to him. So Saul of Tarsus was in many ways like Elijah, with this one difference. He was at the beginning of his career, while Elijah was at the end of his. So the Lord did the same with Saul as he had done with Elijah. He brought him down to Horeb. He brought him down into Arabia. One poet talked about Saul that he may have sat on desert stone, like Elijah at Horeb's cave alone. A gentle voice comes through the wild, like a father consoling his fretful child. It banishes bitterness, wrath, and fear, saying, "Man is distant, God is near." There alone, in the vast expanse of that desert area, the Lord Jesus gathered his new convert to himself. He let him feel the throb of the great heart of God. He let him know the love of Christ for him. He let him know the constant favor, the support that the Savior would be and have for him. He encouraged him. Oh, he showed him what he would suffer. That this persecution he had begun to endure was just the first drop of a mighty storm that would be like the heavens breaking, be like Noah's flood upon him at times. But Christ, his ark, would carry him through it all. Why did he go to Arabia? To be encouraged, as Elijah was.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.